Good evening, members and officers. We'll now make a start on the meeting of the Policy and Resources Committee. So the first item on the agenda is the emergency evacuation procedure. I will ask the Chief Executive to brief on the emergency evacuation procedure. However, I think everyone in this room should be aware.
I'm still on my thunder, Chairman. I've lowered my lines. We're not expecting, actually, seriously, thinking about what's happened in London, I shouldn't joke. We're not expecting a fire alarm this evening, and therefore, if the alarm does go, please, will members evacuate using the emergency fire doors at the wedding door or here on my right. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you. So the next item on the agenda is apologies for absence. Can I ask the committee clerk to brief members on apologies for absence, please?
There are no apologies, Chairman.
Excellent. So we'll proceed to agenda item 3, which is minutes of the previous meeting of the committee. Do any members... So, first of all, I'll ask that the minutes be moved. I wasn't here, so...
I'll move the minutes.
So the Vice-Chairman, Councillor Arnold, has moved the minutes. Do we have a seconder?
Yeah.
Thank you. Councillor Mrs. Cowellin has seconded that. Do any members wish to raise any points of accuracy in relation to the minutes? No, in which case it's moved and seconded. We will proceed to the vote.
Chairman, they have been approved. 7 votes for and 2 abstentions.
Thank you, sir. That is carried. Proceeding to item 4 on the agenda, urgent business, I can confirm... Sorry, Councillor Wainwright.
No, just a question under that, Chairman. I noticed that we haven't got the asset, the council assets on our agenda this evening, Chairman. I just wondered when that was going to be discussed. I thought we had a member briefing, didn't we, a couple of weeks ago, when all the information was given to us, and I'm surprised that it isn't on the agenda this evening.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Wainwright. There is no absolute deadline when that has to be decided, so that given the view of some members in the members' briefing was that we need more time and a period of reflection, and also given that the council is going through a period of change, it has been decided to defer that decision until a later date. Councillor Mrs. Cowellin. Put your microphone on, please.
I can. I think there will be a number of members who won't be very happy about that. I think we can discuss it perhaps later in the agenda, but it is fairly integral to our financial strategy going forward. And the longer we defer a decision on the assets, then the more impact this will have on the finances of this council going forward. So I think we need to know whose decision it is to defer and whether members as a whole do wish to defer that decision.
Thank you. So we will now proceed to agenda item 5, which is declarations of interest. Do members have any interest to declare? No, in which case we will proceed to agenda item 6, appointment of working parties. Okay, so how I intend to deal with this item is that we will deal with each working party one by one. I will ask the groups to nominate their people for the working parties, and then we will vote on each working party one by one. I know traditionally we have done it in bulk, but given that there may be differences of opinion on individual working parties, I think it's better to deal with it one by one. So first of all, we've got the Senior Contracts Working Party. All right, so we've got the officer recommendation, which I will move as chairman. That first of all, we have 3 Conservatives, 2 Independents, 1 Liberal and 1 New Independent. Is that seconded? So that is seconded by the Vice Chairman. All right, so that's now the main recommendation which is being voted upon. Do members wish to speak on that recommendation or alternatively move an amendment to the composition of that working party? Okay, thank you. So now I will ask the respective groups for their members. So first of all, on behalf of the Conservative Party, you will have myself, you will have Councillor Arnold and Councillor Caroline Goodrick. As substitutes, you will have the... bear with me. So Fiona Farnell as the substitute member. For the independent group, Councillor Wainwright, as leader of the group, may you give your names, please? Thank you. So, for the Liberal Party, Councillor Potter, as the Liberal member on this committee, please can you give the name of the person?
Yes, thank you, Chair. It'll be Liberal member John Clark and substitute Tim Thornton.
Thank you. And new independents, please, Councillor Paul Andrews. Many thanks. So, it's been moved and seconded. Can we vote on those appointments, please?
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Thank you. Okay, so we'll now proceed to the Resources Working Party. So, on behalf of the... So, first of all, once again, it needs to be moved and seconded. So, I will move the officer recommendation in terms of the allocation of party places on that working party. Is that seconded? Okay, so the Vice Chairman seconds. Any discussion points or amendments in relation to the composition? Councillor Mrs. Cowling.
I am rather concerned that the Liberal Democrats seem to be missing out on some of the working parties. I know we've got one on this one, but I do wonder, in the interest of being inclusive, when we get to them, if we could look at including a Liberal Democrat on some of the other working parties.
Okay, and so that point is noted. Just in reply, I think it's very difficult to always include a group when it has only got two members, because in order for that group to automatically have a place on any working party, depending on the size, it would have to have roughly 15 members for it to be politically proportional. So it is difficult, and I think that's why they're included on some and not others, because due to their very small size, it's difficult to include them on every working party unless you make the size of the working party quite large. And you will note that they are included on the Resources Working Party under the officer recommendation, so at least they can feed into the policy making process. Councillor Potter, did I see your hand raised?
Yes, thank you, Chair. Yeah, I'm just concerned that this makeup isn't actually proportional to the council, because the with the Conservative members having 5 out of the 10 on the party, and I'm afraid they don't have half of the council, so that represents around about a third, whereas the independents have a quarter with 2 from 8, and the Liberals have a quarter with 1 from 4, and obviously the new independents and the Liberals, there's not much option there because they only have one member each, so you can't get around that. So I would suggest that the Conservatives should only really have 4 members on the on this group. It depends whether we're talking about dropping it to 9 in total or keeping it at 10, which would then mean another group would have to move up a little bit with an extra member to balance it. And of course I would like to suggest that the Liberals had two members on there.
Okay, just to respond to that, the problem is with these, unless you're going to have 30 members on every working party, it's never going to be exactly proportional. And let's say if you put 2 Liberals on, then you would be overrepresented. And if you didn't have, also if you decrease the Conservatives, you would be underrepresented. But I appreciate that currently we are overrepresented on there based on the officer recommendation, but I believe that one of the reasons for that is that it roughly mirrors what was agreed at annual council, in that there are five Conservatives currently on policy resources, so that was a full council decision by all members, and that in turn is reflected onto the Resources Working Party, which traditionally feeds into this committee. Obviously it is the gift of this committee to change it this evening, but given that it's coming, the Resources Working Party feeds into this committee, naturally it would make sense for the two to be in alignment. Councillor Mrs Cowlin.
I just remind Councillor Potter that it was your group who supported that position on the Policy and Resources Committee, that the Conservatives should have 50% of the seats.
Councillor Wainwright.
It will work. Could I just point out that the Resources Working Party is not a decision-making body. It only puts recommendations to this committee. So it doesn't matter really whether you have four or five Conservatives.
Councillor Potter?
I'm just wondering, when you said they supported that half the members would be the Conservatives, was that before or after everything split up, with a lot of the Conservatives disappearing? And another small point is that while there are five Conservative members there, it must be recognised that that also includes the chair and the vice chair, so that gives them rather additional powers.
Okay. I mean, just one point to come back to you, Councillor Potter. Even with one member on there, you are actually overrepresented. So we've got 30 members of council.
Yeah.
Okay. And so you would have to have six members of council. Forgive me. For some reason, I looked up at the top and I just saw five working party, and I forgot to tell you that was five Conservative members. So it's five Conservative members on the Resources Party, not in total, so I was doing my sums on the wrong numbers. I sound like a Diane Abbott. I'm just conscious we could get quite dwelled up on this, and I don't want to revisit what happened at annual council, otherwise we'll end up in a bun fight and we'll be here all night. If there's an amendment, please make it now, otherwise I would like to ask for names of the people on the working party. Okay, in which case, for the Conservative members, we will mirror the Policy and Resources Committee, so it will be myself, Councillor Arnold, Councillor Bailey, Councillor Val Arnold and Councillor Oxley. For the substitutes, it will mirror the Policy and Resources Committee, and I don't know all the substitutes off by heart, please forgive me. Independent, Councillor Wainwright, please.
Yeah, Councillor Wainwright and Councillor Mrs Cowling.
Thank you. Liberal, Councillor, please. Sorry, beg your pardon.
Councillor Mrs Frank and Councillor Hope.
Thank you. Councillor Potter?
Yes, Liberal member will be Councillor Potter and substitute Councillor Thornton.
New independent, please, Councillor Andrews. Thank you. Liberal Democrat, we do not have a Liberal Democrat this evening, so I propose that the decision is for the group leader of the Liberal Democrat group. I believe that Councillor Keel is on scrutiny, in which case it's not traditional that people on scrutiny go on the Resources Working Party, so I'll propose Councillor Mrs Keel.
Sorry,
Mrs Shield. Not a good start. Councillor Mrs Shield, beg your pardon. Right, are we okay to vote on that, please? Sorry, we aren't voting on individual members and seconding and proposing individual members. We're just voting on all of the nominations en bloc for
and
that one
working
party.
I am a little bit concerned about making a decision for the Liberal Democrats.
I think you'll probably
So I'm happy with that, but the problem, it will end up like that because traditionally you would not have a scrutiny member on the resources working party. But I'm happy with that. Let's. So we'll just leave it, and we'll vote.
Chairman, that's 8 votes for and 1 abstention.
Okay, thank you. So the next one is the Grants Working Party. So the recommendation is 2 Conservatives, 1 Independent, 1 Liberal and 1 other member, which will be nominated this evening. So first of all, I'll move that composition. Is that seconded?
Yeah.
Okay. So do members wish to speak on the allocation of members on that working party? No, in which case we will give the names. So, Councillor Arnold, can you give the names for the Conservative group, please? Okay, so that will... Councillor Arnold and Councillor Mrs. Arnold.
Two Arnold, if everybody's happy with that.
And a substitute?
I haven't thought of a substitute at the moment. Who was on before? Can't remember. Can I come back to you on that?
Yes. And so, as Councillor Arnold is Vice Chair of the Policy and Resources Committee, he will de facto become the Chairman of that Working Party. And I have to say, I know that previously the Grants Working Party has met as a non-political dedicated group 3 or 4 years ago, and I know it was highly effective, especially under Councillor Arnold's chairmanship.
We didn't have substitutes last time we ran one.
Okay, so Councillor Wainwright, you're looking at me quite puzzled. I hope everything's all right. Please, can I have the independent member?
Sorry, you can't, Chairman, because we haven't made our mind up yet. You're to be informed.
I don't know if that's strictly correct, but I think it's most practical, so I'm happy with that.
If you look at the compilation, that's fine.
Okay, and so presumably you also get the substitute. Councillor Potter, do you have a name?
Yes, Councillor Clark for the Liberal member, and the substitute will be myself.
Thank you. And then we have one other member, which could be presumably new independent or Liberal Democrat, and so it's a decision this evening for the committee to determine. So I don't know if there's any nominations for that person. Councillor Jarrett. Okay, is that seconded? No, sorry, we're not doing... because it's another member, if that is contended, we'll go to the vote on that specific one. If not, we'll just vote on everything en bloc. Okay. So, in which case, we'll now vote on the Grants Working Party.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Thank you. So then we move on to the appeals panel. So first of all, I'll move the recommendation that we have 1 Conservative, 1 Independent and 1 other. Is that seconded?
Yeah.
Okay. So is everyone happy with the proportionality as proposed? We will then, so on behalf of the Conservatives, it will be Councillor Oxley. Independent, please, Councillor Wainwright.
Councillor Wainwright, yes. I'll repeat.
Thank you. Okay, and then 1 other. Councillor Potter.
Yes, can I propose Councillor John Clark, please?
Thank you. So if there's no other nominations for other, we will proceed to the vote on the appeals panel.
Hmm.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Thank you. The Constitution Working Party, so this mirrors what was agreed by the committee last year. So it was agreed by the committee last year that it's the Chairman of Council Group Leaders and myself as a named person. I don't know why that could be. So I will propose the recommendation that we allocate people on that proportionality. Councillor Arnold.
Yeah, I'll second that.
Councillor Mrs.
Yeah, Cowling. I'm happy to second that. Could I suggest that Councillor Steve Arnold and yourself should both be on that? You're there as named because of your particular interest in the Constitution, and as your joint group leaders, I think it would be good that Steve would be there.
Councillor Mrs. Cowling, I 100% agree with you. And Councillor Arnold will be representing the Conservative group at that working party, and I will be representing myself as a named member.
Yeah.
Okay, so if we're happy with that, can we vote on it, please?
Chairman, that's 8 votes for and 1 abstention.
Thank you. And finally, we had the Corporate Peer Challenge Improvement Plan Working Party. So the suggestion is that we keep the proportionality the same as the Resources Working Party, which will allow this group to meet either immediately before the Resources Working Party or immediately afterwards, rather than having a separate working party at a different date and different venue in order to save costs. So I will move that recommendation.
Yep.
Councillor Arnold, are there any amendments to that recommendation? We aren't voting on named people because it's just going to be the same as the Resources Working Party on the basis of that recommendation. Councillor Potter.
Yeah, it's not so much an amendment. Again, I would question why it's the same proportionality as the Resources Working Party, being as the proportionality is flawed, as I've already gone through. And so, as this is a non-decision-making group, so why is this proportionality so important? Because it's not going to make any decisions, is it?
No, it's not going to make any decisions, but ultimately we've got to put people on there, and so because it's a working party, you could put all the Liberals on there and no other members. There's no rules about this because it's not a decision-making body, but ultimately we need to do it in a way that has a cross-section of people on there. Because we are Hung Council, it is my opinion that it is right we try to adhere to proportionality as far as practicable, which is, I think, the word used under the Local Government Act 1972. So, the Resources Working Party is proportional as far as practicable. It's not unproportional. So I'm happy with the recommendation. So if we're all happy, Councillor Mr. Cowling. Yes, that's correct. So it will allow this working party to meet on the same date and venue as the Resources Working Party, instead of having two separate meetings at different times with, once again, the travel expense.
I'm just a little bit concerned that
Di
might have been very interested in being on this particular working party.
Can you turn your microphone on, please?
I'm just a little bit concerned that Di might have been particularly interested in being on this working party. So at the moment we're saying that the Resources Working Party, that it would be Councillor Elizabeth Shields that would be on that, and whereas I don't think that Di's position on overview and scrutiny would preclude her being on the Peer Challenge Improvement Plan Working Party.
So the current recommendation on the Resources Working Party is that it's an appointment by the Liberal Democrat.
Yep, fine. That's fine.
Group leader. So that will once again replicate onto this recommendation. So it could be either all of them. Okay. So can we vote on that recommendation, please?
Chairman, that's 8 votes for and 1 abstention.
So you may have heard me conferring with the chief executive there, just in relation to the grants working party, and just to explain how it will work. All the grants which are determined at the working party, as it's a non-decision making body, their recommendations come before this committee for a final decision. Okay, and it will deal with the community grants, the flooding grants, and also the Section 106 grants. So it's all in one place, and I think that became too much to deal with under the Resources Working Party, as we did in the previous year. Councillor Mrs Arnold.
Thank you, Chairman. I just noticed that, obviously, when you read this grant, there's two Arnolds on there. We are independent people, and we have our own opinions. So if anybody's concerned that there's two Arnolds on there, I can quite assure you that we are quite able to make our own decisions. Thank you.
Thank you. So we will now proceed to agenda item 7, which is the budget strategy for 2018-19. So the recommendation is that proposals be brought forward for a £5 increase in council tax, that we increase fees and charges to a maximum of 4.5%, excluding VAT, that efficiencies be maximised, the new Hearn's bonus be used in line with the revised medium-term financial plan. Options for service cuts be provided if necessary to the Resources Working Party before coming on to the committee. And then finally, that the council cease to operate the special levy arrangement for street lighting in Moulton, Norton and Pickering Rural. Okay, so that is the recommendation, which I will move as the committee chairman. Is that seconded? Thank you, Councillor Arnold. Do any members wish to speak on the recommendation, please? Councillor Potter.
Yeah, I've got a number of points here. Interesting to see that we're happy with a £5 increase in council tax, as well as increasing fees and charges to a maximum of 4.5%. I seem to recall on a number of occasions hearing that the Tories' sound financial management was keeping the increase at zero and has done so on a number of years, which has meant that we've fallen behind the inflation rate quite considerably. So this appears to be quite well in the lead of inflation. So presumably we're expecting all our taxpayers to try to catch up rather rapidly, which seems to have gone back rather on the sound financial management. Plus the fact that I'm seeing that there's generally a 2.7% increase in council tax, but then on top of that, any services will be additional to that, which would mean that anybody actually using those services would see quite a considerable increase. I'm wondering where the 4.5% has come from. I know it says a maximum of, but based on the pay awards in the council over the last 6 years has been 1% for 4 of those years and a pay freeze for a couple of others, and then general inflation has been around about 3%, so it would appear to me that this 4.5% is quite considerably ahead of our own inflation rate, so I'm wondering exactly where this 4.5% has come from. And referring to paragraph 6.23, where it says income, on page 13, it says officers are also preparing an income slash commercialism strategy which will be presented to members in due course. The recommended target increase is up to 4.5%. Firstly, I do wonder why officers are preparing a strategy when I was under the impression that the members actually created the strategy in consultation with the officers rather than the other way around. But if this is a strategy that's in the process of being prepared, then why have we got a recommendation asking us to accept this recommendation before the officers have prepared the strategy? It sounds rather a little bit about cart before the horse or tail wagging the dog or whichever. I'm going to mix my metaphors. Options for service cuts to be provided if necessary. We've had Councillor Cowling saying that we've achieved these savings with no cuts to services. So I would rather hope that we weren't going to suddenly have cuts in services. Going down to point six, the special levy arrangement, I'm just hoping that this is cost neutral, so that's a sort of minor point. Moving on swiftly through the document, could I just ask a question of Peter, if that's possible? Rule under 6.4, I'm rather confused where it says Rural Services Delivery Grant, and we've got a 459, then suddenly for year 18-19 it drops to 353, and then it goes up to 459 again. So I was a little confused on that one. Do you want me to pause? Is it possible to answer that one?
So this is a Part B item, and it will be coming before full council, so I'm sure that Mr. Johnson will provide you with a written reply. And may I remind all members that you are able to submit questions to officers prior to the committee. Thank you.
All right, okay, thank you. There are a couple of bits. I'm rather confused as to why under the council tax, under the core spending power, it's in the first column 4054, and then for current local position current, it goes to 3959. So I'm on page 11 under 6.4. It's on the tables. Yeah, that's just simply because I don't understand the figures, which is no great surprise. Right, moving swiftly on, I'm on to 6.10, where it says officers continue to work with IEASY and their associates. And I would rather like a list of those associates, please, and how many are there. I presume it's possible to answer that one now, assuming there aren't a vast number of associates. I think I'm just about there. I hope you've all followed that one. Yes, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councillor Potter. So, Councillor Mrs. Cowling, I believe you signalled earlier, and then I'll come to you, Councillor Andrews. Okay, Councillor Paul Andrews.
Pardon. Can I just say first of all, I'm a little bit concerned about the idea that we can't actually discuss this now, and it's got to put questions to council where we'll be under pressure. I thought the idea of committees was that this is where we could have that sort of discussion. Going on from there, I do wish to speak on this, but you haven't actually allowed us time to ask questions. Can I just ask some questions now, and then say what I want to say later?
Councillor Andrews, I do think it will be most helpful in the future if you've got any questions to put them to the officer before the meeting, which will allow us to spend our time debating the issues and making decisions. And I do also think that it is preferable as well for members to, if they have questions or they don't fully understand it, to understand their brief prior to the committee meeting, because ultimately this is a decision-making body in the same way that council is a decision-making body. You may remember that under the peer review, recommendation was that officers do not get involved in the decision-making process at committees or council, because that is most unusual, and I know that previously yourself have argued that ultimately it is for members to make decisions. So I think it will be good practice from now on if questions are put prior to committees and also council to the officers, and ultimately when political decisions are being made, they are made by members, because I think it's deeply unfair to expect officers to ask political questions. There is time before this goes to the council for final decision. It's nearly a month away, so I would advise you to put questions in writing to the relevant officers. Thank you.
No, I'm not. I mean, this has never been the practice of this council, Chairman. It has been at council meetings, but it's never been at committee meetings. And the reason why these officers are here, as I understand it, is so that they can answer questions and they can brief the chair. And I think it's most unfortunate if we're not allowed to ask questions. I would agree that if it's a political question, then the officers then it's not for the officers to answer a political question or enter into any political discussion. But I do think that if I'm asking a question of fact, that is a question that can be answered. And as a committee meeting goes on, questions that haven't occurred to members will occur to members. And again, if it's a matter of fact and the officer has the information, I don't see why he shouldn't give that information. It's the usual practice, Chairman. It always has been you ask the committee, do you have any questions, members? Members ask the questions, and then you go on to debate. And I really feel very uncomfortable about this. Can I ask the question, please? And then if it's a factual question, the officer can answer it. If it's not a factual question, you're quite within your rights to say this is a political question, and therefore it's a matter for members, and therefore the officer shouldn't answer it.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. As I previously explained, there is opportunities for you to ask questions of officers before the meeting and also before full council, and in the future there will also be opportunities at working parties. So, do any other members wish to debate this item?
I do wish to speak, then, Chairman.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews.
I also challenge your decision, because this may be a recommendation of the peer group, but it's not a recommendation which has been through the council. It's not been discussed by the council, okay. and therefore you are ahead of yourself. But just to say what I wish to say, we have these recommendations before us, and as usual they're on block. So we can't debate each single one, which is unfortunate. So I will say what I think. First of all, the proposals for a £5 increase in council tax, I can't disagree with that. Increase in fees and charges to be 4.5%. My problem with that is not the figure of 4.5%, but my problem with that is we don't know what increases officers are going to impose, and on what. For example, car parking fees, and I won't go into that. But if we don't know what fees they're going to charge, we are basically abdicating our responsibility to consider those fees. So I have to abstain on that item alone. Efficiencies to be maximised, I can't argue against that. The use of new homes bonus in line with the revised medium-term financial plan. I'm not happy about new homes bonus being used for revenue purposes. Options for service cuts to be provided if necessary. I don't like it, But it's unfortunate, and I suppose we all have to accept it. It's not something that this council actually has a lot of control over. If we can't raise the money and the money isn't there, something's got to go. And I think it's most unfortunate and a very sad thing. And I won't make a lot of political points which other members might make. The council ceases a special levy arrangement for street lighting in Morton, Norton, and Pickering. I would like to know my question would have been: Were the town clerks ever consulted? Were the town council ever notified of this? It's obviously an intention to pass work on from this district council onto the town councils, loading them again with something which town councils have not had before, in order to relieve the weight off the district council. Now, I can well understand why the district council might want to do this. Fully understand it, but I would have thought that before you came forward with a recommendation of this kind, there would have been some kind of consultation with the town councils concerned.
Thank you, Councillor Andrews. Do any other members wish to speak? Councillor Mrs. Cowlin.
Mike, we've just had two elections and our MP increased his majority by 6,000 votes. I think the people of Rydale have demonstrated that they're very happy with the way that the Conservatives have managed the finances of this council. For a number of years, we kept council tax at 0% increase. When that position was when we were no longer able to maintain that, we had the courage to start implementing increases in council tax. And the people of Rydale have demonstrated that they are very happy with that. Paul, you should recall how we used to go through the increases in fees and charges year on year, and it was an extremely painful process. No, it shouldn't be. We give delegated powers to our officers, and they are allowed to raise fees and charges up to a maximum of 4.5% within that delegation. And that was a decision of this council. It would have been really nice not to have to use new homes bonus for revenue purposes. But a number of councils have used it right from the start and used every penny of it. And I know you don't want to take questions, Luke, but at some stage I would like you to explain to this committee whose decision it was to defer making a decision on the assets, and I would like to know a date when it is going to come to this committee. I've already stated that I think it can be extremely damaging to the finances of this council if we don't get on with it soon. I think it was the understanding of the whole of this council that we would make progress quite speedily with the asset management.
Councillor Wainwright.
Yeah, could I just reiterate what Councillor Cowling has just said? If we look on page 11 under item 610, the last sentence, it does say that in line with the Council's agreed efficiency plan, the medium-term revenue forecast, officers are now working to deliver further significant savings through phase two of the 2020 programme, which is focusing on street scene services and through the assets review. So that, to me, means that Mr. Johnson, in his report, is looking for the assets review to be debated, discussed, so he can come to a decision as to what to do with his capital spend. So I think it's important that we do have a date, not far away, that we do have a date where we are able to discuss the assets review. Only last week, we got the documents that we're all looking for. They came via email. So we have the information with us to enable us to start making a decision. So that's that point. The second point is, I think perhaps Councillor Andrew should have declared her interest as the Mayor of Malton. if he's talking about the council seizes the special levy arrangement for street lighting in Moulton, Norton and Pickering. Thank you, Chairman.
In a personal interest.
Thank you. Councillor Arnold.
I'd just like to say that Helmsley Town Council have been running their street lighting for years and years and years, and they run it extremely well. So I don't see why Norton can't.
Thank you. Just to come back on a couple of points there, Councillor Potter, you said that it was a policy of this council to freeze council tax over a number of years. Yes, it was 6 years, which put money back into the pockets of hard-working families. And I'm proud to have been part of a group that made that happen. And you then went on to suggest that because of that freeze, we are dramatically increasing council tax now. Well, I can tell you that inflation currently stands at 2.9%, and as you stated, if we increase it by 5%, that represents a 2.7% increase. So the increase in council tax that we are proposing is below inflation. So despite having numerous freezes over the past decade, we are increasing council tax below inflation. Okay? To come back to Councillor Mrs. Cowling and Councillor Wainwright on the issue of the asset review, you may remember at the members' briefing there were concerns about some members regarding the timetable of making a decision. So you may remember that, and he's in the room, so I can say this because he can correct me if I'm wrong, but I do remember the chairman of the scrutiny committee, which has a very important part to play in this process, stating that he would strongly oppose bringing forward a decision to this committee under that timescales. In addition to that, as chairman of this committee, along with the vice chairman, we also consulted with some members and saw that there was a reluctance to make a decision very quickly, because there was a lot of questions among some members. So given that it is a very important decision, and given that this council is facing a period of huge change, so we were minded to delay a decision until a later date, and that is what I strongly advised the Chief Executive to do. Okay? So a decision will eventually be made on that matter. Okay, do members wish to speak on this item before we proceed to the vote? Okay, so in which case the recommendation has been moved by myself and seconded by the Vice Chairman, so we will proceed to the vote.
Chairman, that's 6 votes for, 1 against and 1 abstention.
Okay, thank you. So that is carried. Sorry, I didn't vote on that one.
I do apologise.
We've taken the vote, and I think it's been announced. So I didn't vote on that, but I'll, as chairman, no, I've changed it now. But it was after the vote was announced. So as chairman, it's me to make a decision in these circumstances. We've had it before, and I will go with what the vote was at the time it was announced. So if we take my vote off there, I hadn't voted at that point. Okay. So apologies for that slight misconfusion, which was of my making, so I do apologise for that. So we will proceed to agenda item 8, which is the policy on discretionary business rate reliefs. So just to confirm, the recommendation is that Council approve the discretionary business rates policy at Appendix A, and that officers be delegated to approve a new revaluation element of discretionary business rates relief in cases where business rates rateable value is less than £20,000. Okay, so I will move the recommendation, and Councillor Arnold, as Vice Chairman, has seconded the recommendation. Do members wish to speak on this agenda item? No, in which case there is one point I wish to raise, and that's in relation to the appeals procedure, which is detailed on, just bear with me one moment please. Nearly there. Yep. So the appeals procedure is currently states that where so 7.7 on page 43 states that the appeals procedure is where the ratepayer continues to be aggrieved by the decision, the case will be referred to the section 151 officer for review. Where appropriate, cases of this nature may be referred to the Policy and Resources Committee as appropriate. My concern is that there is some ambiguity there. And it's not clear-cut whether cases go to the Policy and Resources Committee or not, nor is it clear who is the final decision-maker. Now, I am not personally too fussed as to whether the final decision-maker is the Section 151 officer or the Policy and Resources Committee, but I do think it should be one or either, and there shouldn't be ambiguity in what the procedure is, especially when you are dealing with appeals of this nature, because they should be independent in each stage, and we could also be open to judicial review. Therefore, I would like to suggest that the 7.7 be reworded to make clear that stage one of the appeals procedure is the senior revenues officer, stage two of the appeals process is the section 151 officer, and it should be the gift of the person who is appealing. They should make the decision on whether it goes on to a next stage, not the person who's actually deciding the appeal. So then stage three should be the Policy and Resources Committee. So it's giving the power to decide where it goes to, and just making really clear the procedure, and it's just eliminating that ambiguity. So that's the amendment which I'm proposing, that it is reworded to make clear you've got stage one, senior revenues officer, stage two, section 151 officer, and stage three, policy and resources committee, which will be the final decision maker of this council. So is that amendment seconded? Yeah. Thank you, Councillor Arnold. Do members wish to speak on that amendment? Councillor Andrews.
I have to say, Chairman, that this was a point that I was going to raise myself. I'm glad you've raised it, and it's absolutely right.
Thank you. Do any other members wish to speak on this amendment? Okay. So, in which case, we will proceed to the vote on the amendment.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Thank you. So before we proceed to the vote on the substantive recommendation as amended, do any of the members wish to speak on this item? No, in which case, sorry, Councillor Andrews.
Beg your pardon. So does that mean to say we can't give any relief, or does it mean to say there's no restriction on the maximum amount of the relief? I'm sure I know what the answer is, but I just thought I'd have it for clarification, please.
Okay. So once again, this is going on to the full council, so I'm sure in the interim period you will be able to provide it with a written response. But just to make clear, where people are getting mandatory relief, they will already be receiving relief. And I think it's just a case that actually no more relief is required because they're getting the full amount under mandatory relief. But once again, a written answer will be provided. Thank you. So, in which case it's been moved and seconded, we will now proceed to the vote.
Chairman, that's unanimous.
Okay, thank you. So that concludes the agenda for this evening. I don't have any further business or urgent business, so therefore this committee is closed. Thank you. Councillor Andrews, perhaps we can discuss this one-to-one with the...